Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
I am a little emotional this morning over what I feel like the Lord wants me to talk to you about. For really, I think He wants to talk to me about it, and I'm just sharing with you from the overflow. You know, coming to a time of New Year is always a time of reflection. And I always look back with some trepidation that somehow the opportunities and possibilities were not all taken advantage of. And somehow, amidst the goodness of God and the blessings of God and the abundance of God, that our inappropriateness needs to be dealt with. I want to talk about forgiveness today. Forgiveness not only for someone who does not know our Christ, but forgiveness for those of us who do and can't seem to get our act together. The world may think that things are going fine, when often inside, that's just not the case. And the goodness of God is overwhelming against the backdrop of who we are. Isaiah 59:2 talks about that there is a wide separation between God and ourselves. I remember as a young child feeling that tremendous sense of unworthiness. We often call it in theological terms the conviction of the Holy Spirit or the wooing of the Holy Spirit. It was that time in our life that no matter what we did, it wasn't enough. Somehow that need to know God superseded every other need, and we had to get that thing taken care of. Do you remember that feeling? Remember that longing, that pull, that itch that no matter what you tried, it would stop itching? That vacantness, that hole, that emptiness, no matter what you did, it didn't seem to be enough. That sense of unworthiness, that sense of uncleanness. Remember the joy when Christ came? Remember how it was almost like a gigantic weight or a dark screen was lifted off of life? And suddenly there was that joy and fullness that you never realized could be there. There was a sense of acceptedness, cleanness, and wholeness, and rightness about everything in life because you came to know Him. Boy, what exciting days those first few weeks and months the new Christian are. There is no mountain too high in those days. Man, it is a time of exuberance and excitement. And boy, I remember that with such joy. Remember the promises I made that I never could keep. Remember the commitments I made that somehow I just never could run fast enough to make and do all the things I wanted to do in those first wonderful moments with our Lord. But the reality of who we are set in not long after that, didn't it? The reality of the more we try, the farther we fall. The reality of Romans 7. That in the midst of our want to, there is a major problem in our lives. I think the word that I need to hear from God is that same word that I heard in those first few months of joy. For somehow it is so easy to move from the love of God and the acceptance of God, and somehow, like the Galatian Christians, we move back into an area of merit and work and appropriateness. And I just need to hear again that God loves me just the way I am. No strings, no probation, somehow I don't have to make the mart or get cut from the team, or I can't be evicted from the mansion that's already made for me, you know? And I think it's so good to go back over some very basic things about the love of God at a season like this. For I think looking back at our own sin says something to us about the nature of God that nothing else does. I think sometimes I admonish you so strongly, and usually those of you who are so sensitive are the ones that I chew up in that grinder of let's push on to the high mark. And so today I want to stop from the encouragement of let's get on with it, and I want to go back to some basics to try to give us a handle to live in joy amidst our fallenness and amidst our salvation. For I don't know about you, but sometimes the evil of my own heart overwhelms me in the midst of the blessings and love of God. It helps me to know that God wanted to know me. I didn't choose God. He chose me. And all of those beautiful passages about before the foundation of the world, that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because before the foundation of the world, there was a lamb slain, that Jesus has already picked us out before the worlds were spoken into creation, helps me to know in the midst of my inability to perform that I'm accepted. There are days when we need to be encouraged to be more than we can in Christ. And there are days when we need to hear that wonderful message, I love you just the way you are. You know, it amazes me that God loves us when we're so stinking. I think of a simple passage that we've heard so often. For God so loved the world. Now, the world there is not the disciples or the church or whatever we think is the, quote, religious people. That's not talking about those who make the mark or those who perform the task or those who are moral or do the ritual. That passage is talking about that God so loved fallen man. And He didn't love fallen man with an intensity of emotion, but He loved us with a purposeful action. And that wonderful action is that God loved the world in such a way that He gave His only, unique, one-of-a-kind Son. For you see, the Bible is very clear about man. It says, the soul that sins, it shall surely die. And we know from looking at the earliest parts of Genesis that Adam did not physically die immediately, but there was a terrible rift in his fellowship with God. And suddenly he became aware of his own nakedness, his violation of God's commands, and there was a terrible separation between himself, his wife, and that one who had made them and walked with them and talked with them. We also know that if that isn't taken care of before physical death, which is a direct result of the rebellion of man, that that will turn into eternal death or separation or hell. So we see there is a tremendously important truth here, and that is that all of us are in need of the grace of God, not just initially, sometime back, way back there, but on an ongoing basis, you and I are in a desperate need of fellowship with God. Not only that day we trusted Him, but every day. And as I look back over a year gone, I am appalled at the rebellion in my own life. Though it'd be easy to count up all the victories and the joys and the abundance and the blessings and say, well, it looks good. I'm afraid I'm overwhelmed with what could have been and wasn't. And I think what I need more than anything to know is, in the midst of our ongoing rebellion, that God still loves us and sent His Son to die. For you see, the amazing thing is that what we call the gospel is, the Greek word is euangelion, it means good news. But the goodness of the news is only so good when we see the blackness of our need. You know, I've always been amazed that God became a man and died on our behalf. Think about that. I can't imagine how eternity can become a human being anyway. But to think that it would and come for the very purpose of laying down its life for those who did not understand and who did not respond immediately. Isn't that what the good news is all about? For God took Him who knew no sin and made Him to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. There are so many passages, I think, that talk about the centrality of who Jesus is and what He has done for us. I wish I had time to go over all these. I want you to write a couple of them down, if you would. 1 Peter 2:24, 1 John 2:2, Revelation 1:5 are passages that sparkle with the love of God, not because I deserve it, but because that's just who God is. It's not that He's indulgent or indifferent about sin, and it's not the little sins of my life don't make a difference and that He somehow overlooks it. But what I really think, that sin costs God an unbelievable price, and those of us who are parents can understand something of what it says that God gave His only Son on our behalf. No, love's not cheap, and salvation's not free. It costs God a tremendous price. And I think sometimes the laxity of which we speak of our rebellion, or we talk about little sins or white lies, we need to realize that we are who we are, not because of ourselves, but because of Him who died in our place. So we have the love of God. And that, I need to hear that, because sometimes if I'm not careful, I make God an umpire or a judge or a policeman who's out to get me. And if I'm not careful, the image of me sinning and God angry is always what comes first. But I so desperately need to hear that God loves me and loves you. So it's the love of God. It's the death of Christ. And how do we deal with it? Well, initially, we talk over and over about the fact that the way forgiveness is obtained is by repentance and faith. We can go to Mark 1:15. There is a negative aspect of turning away from our evil and a positive aspect of turning to God in Christ. And that's the way forgiveness becomes applicable to our life. For Christ died for the whole world, but the way it becomes applicable to you and me is a personal reception, a turning from, a turning to. But somehow in my mind, I begin to think that's all settled. It's a one-time act back there. But it comes home to me that I didn't quit sinning back there. And that I desperately need to continue to repent and believe as I initially did. For there's no other way for the tremendous forgiveness of God, the establishment of a relationship, to continue unless we're willing to talk to Him about the rebellion and sin in our lives. I feel like so many times we are so embarrassed that here we are Christians and we've done something like that. We thought something like that. We acted that way. And it's so overwhelming to us that we don't know how to deal with it. The trick to dealing with it is, He loved you before you were part of His family. How much more could He love you now? And all that He wants you to do is to come to Him Isn't it so good when your kids come to you and say, I've made a mistake. I've done something wrong. Daddy, I think God wants us to come to Him and talk to Him. And one of the greatest words we need to hear as Christians is that those tremendous days of fellowship with God that we experience as a new Christian are possible on an ongoing way if we'll just keep trusting Him and quit trusting us. It is a subtle temptation to say, what a great person I am. What wonderful things I do. How often I attend church. How much I do for God. And slowly but surely we get back on who we are. And it's a shock in the face to realize that who we are when we've done everything that we can, we are still unworthy servants. I know that in Christ that I am a saint. I know that in Him I have the righteousness that He has. And yet, the evil of my own heart is overwhelming to me. We must deal with the failures and sins and rebellions immediately so the relationship won't be stifled. I think one of the greatest verses when talking about forgiveness, there's two of them that I want to mention to you that I've talked about so often. Psalms 19. The latter part of that psalm, verses 12 through 14, where David says, keep me back from presumptuous sins and let them not rule over me. Ladies and gentlemen, there are areas of my life that I cannot handle. And the only way I know how to deal with those areas is to stay away. And I thank God that knowing that He keeps me out of the areas that I can't possibly handle. But there are other areas that I continue to open-eyed rebellion. I would like to show you something. If there is an area of your life that you tend to fail over and over and over in knowingly, may I see your hand? We have that. And one of the most insidious things that comes to me over and over again is when the evil one continues to come and say, Utley, you're a jerk. You're not saved. Look at what you're thinking. Look at what you did. Look at that. You couldn't be saved and think that, do that, act that way. And you continue to do it, surely. You know what? If we let that come and let that thought continue, we will lose the joy, the victory, the maturity, the relationship. For you see what that's saying, subtly but true, and most of you have heard those words in your own mind, you're not worthy to be called a Christian. I never was. Never in my whole life was I worthy to be one of His children. Neither were you. The basis of our salvation has never rested on performance. It's always rested on grace through Christ by faith. And the moment we let that tempter come in and say to us, look what you're doing, we're right back on self-effort. And self-effort and performance will destroy all of us. We're not saved by performance. We're saved by grace through faith. And we need to hear that simple message over and over and over again that you are who you are because of the love of God and the death of Christ and your response by faith, period. Now, I think there is a Christian life, and I think there is a maturity, and I think there is a growing into His fullness. Oh, but there is a continual rebellion in the heart of every one of us that we must deal with. We're never going to get to a plane of sinlessness here. There is going to be a need to go back to the for God so loved the world that He gave, and whosoever. Boy, I need that today. I just need to hear, Bob, I knew you were evil when I died for you. I knew you were evil when I called you to be one of my children. I knew you were evil when you responded, and I still love you. still love you. I want to give you a series of passages that I hope you'll look up that talk about the forgiveness of God. I wish I had time to read them all. I don't feel like I do. These passages, if this doesn't bless your bippy's cracked. I'll give them to you, and then I'll go back and talk about it just briefly. Please write these down. Psalms 103, 12 through 14. Isaiah 38, 17. Jeremiah 31, 34. Isaiah 44, 22. Micah 7, 19. Psalms 51, 7. These are the passages that talk about, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from you. I have put them behind my back. I have covered them with a deep mist. I have dropped them into the depths of the sea. Though they were red as scarlet, they are white as snow. And when I hear those words of affirmation, I think of that beautiful passage in Psalm 51 that Vernon read that said, O Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Friends, I am forgiven. Praise be unto God, there's no other reason than He loves me. I'm really forgiven and accepted and a part of the family, even though I continue to sin. Oh, I hope I can sin less in the days ahead. I hope the areas of my life that are such obvious faults to others that I can deal with. I want to deal with them so badly. I want to be more like Him. But it is so good to know, just like I am, because of who He is, not because of who I am, that I'm loved and accepted and forgiven. Now, there's joy in that. There's joy that rings my bell over that. And that's true of you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, however black or hidden or hideous or little or seemingly unimportant, rebellion, it's true for you. Hallelujah, it's true for you. In Jesus, going to be all right. Oh God, it's going to be all right. Lord, we love you so often with our tongues and our lives, so often seem to love ourselves. But Father, you knew that. And I know you're working with us to make us more like Christ. But oh God, it's so good to hear that you love us. That your love is not conditioned on us not sinning. Oh, Father, sometimes our sins are before us like huge mountains of iniquity. But I'm glad you've moved mountains. And Lord, it's good to know that in the midst of a year, I thank you for the good days, the days where I've let you walk in my life, the days that I've been submissive and sensitive and loving. Boy, I thank you for those days. Keep me from pride in those days. But oh God, the days of darkness and rebellion, prideful, willful sin, God, thank you for dealing with those. Help me not walk in them anymore. But Lord, I'm afraid I will. Thank you for your love that's undeserved and unmerited. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for ones like us. Thank you for accepting sinners and loving those who no one else loved. Oh, Jesus, thank you for that. Holy Spirit, thank you for convicting my heart of sin, not allowing me to rest in self-sufficiency, pointing out the areas of weakness and failure. And then, Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, thank you for applying forgiveness. Lord, I just need to feel clean. I'm so thankful that you're the kind of God that lets dirty people come and be cleansed in who you are. There are many here, Lord, who need more than the air they breathe to feel accepted by you. None of us can cast stones at one another. We've all walked the way of pride and arrogance and sin and rebellion. Lord, I pray that we might love one another because you've loved us. That we might forgive one another because you've forgiven us. Forgive us for the standards that we raise that really are not from you. Oh Lord, restore unto us the joy of your salvation. And help us to reflect day by day who you are in every aspect of our lives. I pray that your Spirit might have control of the service. That those who are hurting might turn to you and leave that thing there. In Jesus' name.